You know, folks, it's truly a great privilege and blessing for me to be with you folks. I spent 3 years as your pastor, and I had to admit that it was three of the most wonderful years of my life. The Lord, for many reasons, took us away, and we had to go back to Tulsa. We had been in Tulsa 9 years before, and all told, now we've been in Tulsa 36 years. It's sort of become a permanent, I guess you might say, statue there until they kick me out. I don't know when that's going to be. But I hope and I pray that it'll be in the rapture.
Yeah.
You get my age and there's a lot of things that goes wrong and a lot of problems that develop and a lot of doctor visits, things of that nature. But you always have in your thoughts as God's children that you would rather go out in the rapture and not by death, even though death does take us in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, folks, for this invitation. And thank you for the kindness that you've shown us and the meals that you've given us. We've truly enjoyed it. And if God lets us live a little longer, we intend to come back. If you'll have me. Revelation chapter 4. And we're going to begin reading with verse 1. It says, "And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I'll show thee things which must be hereafter." Father, we're truly thankful for all the many blessings you've given us. Lord, you know our hearts and how thankful we are for Jesus. He is the center of our hope and of our lives, and we look forward someday to seeing him and being with him. Sometimes, Father, it's difficult to understand how that could be a reality, but we know it is. We ask for the Spirit to guide us, that whatever we do now, Father, might lean to giving praise and glory to you. Lord, we know that everything was created for that purpose, that we might worship and honor your holy name. Help us, Father. Keep us humble in your presence and guide us by your Spirit, and show us, Father, your way, that we might walk with you until that moment of time that we're with you in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We are studying in Tulsa of the events that are taking place in the world, primarily around Israel, the things that have developed and are developing. Israel's in trouble, folks. There's no question about it. These Islamic nations in that area would like to exterminate that nation, people. And, of course, they're not going to be able to do it because they belong to God. But things that are happening just about every day makes us feel like that the rapture is just about here. Now, I know there's no signs given in the Bible that we can put a finger on it and say that's when the rapture is going to take place, because the Lord has told us that only the Father knows that time. But I don't know of a subject that God's children should be more concerned about and have more curiosity about than the rapture. It's our hope. I don't think any of us would look forward to dying. The Bible doesn't tell us to do that. But we are to look forward to the rapture. We keep in mind that we're going to see Jesus.
Amen.
You know, the scripture teaches us that those of us who have truly been redeemed,
yeah,
and that we have, you might say, the Bible says, tasted of Christ, as we've partaken of Him in a very special way through the power of the Holy Spirit and regeneration that Jesus spoke of in John chapter 3. We have become new creatures. We're not the old man that once was. We have the flesh. We have a battle that continues, and we have to continue to fight the war of righteousness. None of us live the way we really want to if we're saved, because we want to please our Savior. But the greatest topic, the greatest message that can ever be preached in our time is to look up. Our redemption is drawing nigh. This verse, I think, to me at least, is God's way of showing us how the rapture is going to take place. John said he seen a door opened up in heaven, heard a voice that was like a trumpet talking to him. Paul speaks of the trump of God shall sound, the dead of Christ shall arise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. We're looking forward to that. That's our hope. That's our future. This world doesn't hold anything for us, folks. We're encouraged, actually we're warned in the Bible, not to allow ourselves to get entangled with this world and with the flesh. Break away from it. In a sense, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. The Lord began His ministry by declaring, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now we understand that we are subjects of that kingdom now, it's a spiritual kingdom. But we will be someday subjects of that special kingdom, eternal kingdom, in which God is setting up and going to set up for us. Our Lord then felt it was the important thing to present the beginning of His ministry was to encourage people to repent. That's to change, to turn. Repentance is not coming up here and saying you're sorry for something. Repentance has to do in the heart. You're supposed to turn from sin and from the fleshly things and serve God. The only way that can happen, of course, is what Jesus said, you must be born again. You can't do it on your own. In James chapter 2 and verse 5 says, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which He has promised to them that love Him? I tried in the sermons I've preached for you, tried to present the person of our Savior. Religion doesn't cut it. You're not going to go to heaven on religion. And all the various religion movements of our time and churches that gotten so caught up in things that has nothing to do with serving God. Those things are of no benefit to anyone. The only benefit, folks, is Jesus Christ. Jesus said He was the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by Him. He's the door that opens for us to enter the kingdom of God. He's the foundation of our faith. He's the bread of life. He's everything. Everything in the world to a child of God is in Jesus Christ. If we didn't have Him, we'd have nothing. But we have Him. God's love for us is amazing. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, it says we love Him because He loved us. It's the results of His love that He has showed to us that causes us to love Him. The reason so many people who are church members or whatever, that don't really love Christ and don't really serve Him, is because they haven't experienced His love. There's nothing in the world quite like the moment that the Holy Spirit touches your heart and causes you to see what you are and makes you cry out to God as your Father. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 it says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." Not for them that are religious, not for them that are church members. It's not built on that. Our hope of the future is not built on what we've done. It's built on what He did. Amen. And the power Amen. That God uses to bring us to know Christ. I want to ask you folks something. How many of you have ever come to the place in your life that you really wanted to see Jesus face to face? I mean, really wanted to see Him. I mean, I thought about things that He did and it's recorded in the Bible. Wouldn't it have been something to bend there and listen to this Son of God, the Son of Man, listen to Him teach? You know, it's good to sit and listen to someone teach the Bible, but our knowledge of the Bible is nothing compared to His. There's many questions that I couldn't answer for you, but He could answer every one of them. To hear Him teach, even the people of that time says never a man spoke like this. He was a unique person. He was the perfect man. He was the one that pleased God in every way. And on top of that, He knew everything. There was nothing He didn't know. Oh, I know we can put some arguments there if you want to, but I still think that as a divine Son of God, He had all knowledge just like the Father. Amen. To see Jesus, to meet Him face to face. Now we can read the first chapter of the book of Revelations. And John saw Him glorified. I've read that over several times, and I've got a feeling that John was describing what he saw by his ability to describe it. I think, brothers and sisters, when we see the Lord in His glorified form, we're going to see something we never dreamed of. We're going to see a marvel of marvels. We're going to see a being that outshines the sun. We're going to see one who created the heavens and the earth and who possesses all power. But most of all, we're going to see Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer.
Yes.
Don't you want to just fall at His feet and praise His holy name and thank Him over and over again?
Yes.
I titled this message, "The Day and the Way." I did that because of a message I heard many years ago. The preacher was a post-tribber, and he's trying to show his position on the second coming of Christ. I didn't agree with him, but I liked his title, "The Day and the Way." Now, we know we can't establish the day. It's not possible. Even with all that's going on in the world today and the many things that Israel's facing and things that looks like it's just about time for the Lord to come, but we don't know that. We can't set that time.
Right.
In Matthew 24 and verse 36, Jesus said, "That day and hour knows no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only."
Yes.
I'm not going to try to debate whether Jesus said he didn't know. I think he did. But he said no man. But as a divine Son of God, I believe he knew. He knew all things. Why didn't he know that?
Right.
I just don't argue with it. That's just my thought. In Acts chapter 1, verse 7, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in his own power. That is, God is the one that's going to tell Jesus, it's time, son, go bring my children home. God's going to tell him that. Jesus is going to be ready. Isn't it wonderful to have a Savior who has done everything that was necessary to put us in God's eternal kingdom? In John chapter 14, Jesus told those disciples, he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many dwelling places. In other words, they were already there. God's not caught trying to add dwelling places for those who decide to be saved and all that kind of foolishness. Preachers will talk about if you just believe and trust in Christ, God will write your name down in the book of life. I got news for them. If you're saved, your name's been there all along. God's not caught off guard. He knows exactly what's going to happen, what will happen, because he brings it to pass. He's the one that saves, not the preacher, not you. You didn't bring yourself before Christ. God did that. He does a better job than we could do anyhow. But you know, we are told at this time to expect the coming of Christ for us at any moment. The term that's used in our Bible is to watch. We find it over and over again recorded in the Scriptures. Mark chapter 13, beginning with 33, it says, take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Now, I want to use that text and emphasize something here of great importance. What our Lord is saying, that we are to be prepared. We, sort of like Israel was told to put the blood on the doorpost and keep their shoes on and their packing clothes ready to leave at a moment's time, to be prepared. It's going to happen. This is what he's telling us. We are to be in a state of readiness, spiritually prepared to go be with Christ and be with God. He said, lest he come suddenly and find you sleeping. The word sleeping in the Greek means just to lie down and rest. It means to not be vigilant, not be involved. I think what the Lord is saying is that when he comes, we better be serving him and doing what he's told us to do. And truly expecting that rapture at any moment. All men will see Jesus. You know, folks, there is a hell. There's preachers today that won't preach it, but there is a hell. And it's not the devil's hell, it's God's hell. It's a place that God has prepared and ordained to deal with sinners, those who have died in their sins or refused Christ. What a thought. I wouldn't want anybody to go to hell. Would you? Why is it that the Lord has given us the command to go and make disciples, to go out and get busy, tell people about Jesus Christ, who is the true answer for all mankind. We don't know who the elect are, but He does. We're just to broadcast the person of Christ. We're to praise Him and lift Him up and give glory to His holy name. He is our Savior and our God. We owe Him everything. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, we're told what's going to happen to those who die without Christ. He said he saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. I take it there's no place for comfort, for escape, for happiness. There was nothing there. They were going to stand in judgment. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which was written in the books. Notice that books, plural, according to the works. You see, folks, God keeps records. I'm not saying He has a library where He wrote down all the sins we've committed or the lost have committed. He doesn't need that. But it's the same. He knows exactly everything everyone does. And He said the sea gave up the dead which was in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead, or death and Hades actually give up the dead which is in them, and they were judged every man according to the works. Now folks, I'm mighty glad at this moment in time to tell you He's not going to do that to me.
Amen.
He judged me in Christ.
Amen.
If you trust Jesus Christ, you've already been judged, and the judgment of God's been satisfied, been paid in full.
Amen.
And we are now the sons of God.
Amen.
And He said, whosoever was not found written in that book of life was cast in the lake of fire. I don't know about you people. The Bible speaks of fire and brimstone. Have you ever seen how hot that is? You ever been close to a volcano where the lava was coming out of the ground and so hot that it runs like thick water or something? Hell's going to be hotter than that. That's a terrible place. I don't like telling people they're going to hell, but if you don't know Christ, you're going to hell. That's exactly the way it is. Everyone needs to hear the message that God is going to call you before Him in judgment, this great white throne, and you're going to give an account of yourself. But what about the saints? It's true. Our sins have been judged. The penalty for our sins has been enacted. And God is satisfied with payment made in full.
Amen.
And we've been released from the condemnation of it.
Amen.
The Scripture says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Those that believe in Christ are not condemned, but those that believe not are condemned already. John 3 and 18. Those born again. The subject of God's sovereignty is possibly the foundation for every truth of the Word of God. It would be difficult to believe that God would send His own Son to die for us if we didn't believe that God was sovereign and that He did these things to carry out His will. If you remember, our Lord during His ministry, He often said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. It was God's will that Christ died for our sins.
Amen.
He fulfilled God's purpose. God sent Him to do that. He came of His own too as well. John chapter 17 verse 2 is a marvelous verse. I think John chapter 17 is a marvelous chapter along with John 10, John 6 and a whole lot of others. But that verse Jesus said just simply that God had given Him power over all flesh that He might give eternal life to as many as God had given him.
Amen.
That's the sovereignty of our God.
Amen.
That's why we have hope. It's because God hath loved us from all eternity, gave us to His Son before the world was ever formed, Ephesians chapter 1, and Jesus took our place in judgment.
Amen.
And gave us His place in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Ain't that something?
Amen.
Let me tell you something, folks. If you can't be moved by the knowledge of knowing that God loves you that much, and He's got a place in His kingdom established for you, I think you'd better look at your salvation.
Amen.
See if you really know such a King. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better." That is, that's better than staying here. I don't know whether I could have the grace that Paul had. Maybe God gave it to me, I could. I'm not looking forward to dying. I'm not looking forward to the pain of it or whatever it comes up. But I do know and have all the confidence in the world that when I do, everything's going to be okay. I sure would like to take you out in the rapture, though, wouldn't you? Can you imagine what that's going to be like? We're going to be changed in the blinking of an eye. Whew. My goodness. And we're going to be caught up. Brother David won't even have to have his airplane passes anymore. We just fly without them. That's going to be something. Caught up to be with the Lord forevermore. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall arise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with them together, to be with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." And then he adds a little part down there that we all ought to take heed to. He said, "Wherefore, because of this, comfort one another with these words."
Amen.
This is our joy. This is what we can rejoice in and be comforted together as a church and as a body of Christ, knowing that what we experience in this life is only temporary. We're going to experience something amazing. We're going to be changed from a carnal nature. We're going to lay aside this old body like a worn out suit of clothes, and the human nature goes with it.
Right.
And we won't sin anymore. We're going to take on a glorified body, a body like Jesus, with a nature of holiness and righteousness that we can stand before God. But it's all in Jesus, isn't it? It's His nature. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, you find an outline, a divine outline, I call it, of the rest of the book. Now, John saw a glorified Christ. Possibly, I think that was put there for many reasons. God certainly knows what He's doing. But to remind us what we have to look forward to. We're going to see this awesome being, this amazing Savior, who has given us His love in every way possible. He took our sins and died in our place. The reason we love Him is because of that great love He has for us. I'm looking forward to seeing Him in all of His glory. I'd like to see that wonderful Savior who outshines the sun. One that we can bow in His presence and praise His holy name and realize He is truly God and was God in the flesh. He goes on, chapter 2 and 3. He sends some letters to the seven churches of Asia. And there's different opinions about that, but I believe those letters represent the need of our churches today. Each letter covered a problem that churches would go on through and go through town. I like to think our church is like, sort of like the Philadelphia church, wouldn't you? Church that was faithful, dedicated to serving the Lord, but most of all, one that was truly looking for the coming of Christ. To study prophecy, the Word of God, to study the things the Bible has to say about this, is to give us more encouragement to look for the coming of Christ. I don't know when He's going to come, but I listen to Brother David and the things that he teaches us, and each time I have this enormous desire for it to take place before I have to get in the pulpit and I get to hear Jesus tell me how it really is.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of questions about things. I have a lot of questions about things. But I'm going to face my Savior, and any question I might have, and I don't know, some people think in the glorified body you no longer have questions, but I don't know. I don't think we're going to have the wisdom of Christ, but I think we'll have the privilege to sit at His feet like Martha did,
yeah,
to Mary, and hear the Master teach. Brethren, there can't be anything better than that. Not a single thing can ever come up in that kingdom that our Savior won't have the perfect and correct answer for. You know, we always said, why this and why that? He'll tell us why. Are you looking for Him to come, folks? You know, I did this subject. I've got about halfway through my notes, and I'm going to stop. They're just too much. There's nothing in this world that will thrill your heart more than walking close with the Lord and in obedience with Him in every way possible. And do like old Brother Bill Lau used to do years ago. He'd call me on the phone early every morning, and he'd say, "Brother David, today could be the day." You ever get up in the morning and think, this could be it? The Lord might come at any time. That's what watching means. To be not only expecting, but being faithful, waiting for His coming. Folks, thank you. Thank you for this invitation. Thank you for the privilege to visit with you. I love you folks. I really do. I've had a lot of love in my heart for this little church, and you mean a lot to me. It's been a blessing to be with you, to share a few thoughts with you. You could find a whole lot better preachers and a whole lot smarter men, but I don't think you're going to find anybody that loves the Lord more than I do.
Amen.
May God bless you.
Amen.